for camp is taking up the torch. And I think you all know what that would imply and what that would mean. You're young people, and there's an opportunity here to take the torch and to move and to go somewhere with it. That implies some responsibility. It implies some maturity to be responsible for such a thing. But we need to consider something here this morning before we talk about daring to do right and taking up the torch and being leaders and being spiritual and all of those things. Before you can ever take up the torch, there's one important issue, one critical issue that needs to be settled in every person's life. And that is, you need to be saved. I'm going to talk this morning in this first session to those of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, I don't know who you might be, but I think some of you know, and the Spirit of God certainly knows. And so we're going to consider a young man in the Scriptures this morning. But I want to, before we get into this, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want you to make this personal this morning between you and God and the Word of God in you, as if there's nobody else here in this room but you. And I want to draw your attention and remind you of the film that we watched last night. At first, it seemed a little confusing with English subtitles and so on. But you know the same thing that I know, that at the end of that, when that preacher started preaching through those scenes in that film, all of a sudden, the truth that they were trying to convey came ringing through loud and clear. The fact that God gave His only Son so that you could be free, so that you could live when you didn't know, you didn't care, you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Make that personal this morning, because some of you are still on that train of life. Some of you are just going along carefree. Some of you may not even care. I don't know. But I think you know, and the Spirit of God certainly knows. So I want you to make this personal as we get things rolling today and tomorrow. We need to understand and cover this issue. And I want you to look this way. And I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to consider this morning a young man who met with Jesus. A young man who was at a very critical point in his life. And I want you to read with me these verses and understand that this young man was a man who was loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was lacking something. And this thing that he was lacking kept him from coming to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. This thing that he was lacking, by all accounts and all that we know, caused this young man to forever be in the flames of hell, even today. Read with me in these verses. You follow along. Mark chapter 10, in verse 17. The Bible says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life." So this guy wanted to be saved. And he comes running to Jesus and he kneels down before Jesus and he says, "What do I need to do to be saved?" All right, you following that? Let's keep reading. Verse 18, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he said," or he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I'm going to talk to you this morning about this young man who was loved, yet lacking. He was loved, yet lacking. This is a very critical point in this young man's life. And we know that he was young because if you read over in a parallel passage in Matthew, the Bible says that he was a young man. We would call him the rich young ruler. He was a young man who was very diligent. He wasn't wasting his life. He wasn't over there always playing video games and lazy. He was doing something with his life. He was rich. He was and he was diligent in his dealings and so on. He also recognized that he had a need because he came running to Jesus. And he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" So he understood that he had a need. He needed to be saved. He was diligent. He wasn't wasting his life. He understood that there was a need in his life. He seemed to be taking advantage of his opportunities and his privileges because the Bible says he came running to Jesus. He even went to the right source for salvation. You with me? He wasn't trying other religion. He wasn't seeking Muhammad. He wasn't seeking after Buddha. He wasn't trying all other things. He went to Jesus, the right source for salvation. He seemed to be taking advantage of his opportunities, but ultimately it passed him by. The Bible says that he went away sorrowful. He didn't get saved. And the question is, why? Why did he go away without being saved? But you know, I see some things in this young man that are very common among young people today, especially those who grow up in Christian homes. Now, I was one of you. I grew up in a Christian home. I was in teen camps. I heard preachers standing up preaching just like I am here today. Played all the games, had a lot of fun. Did all of those things, but you know what? I wasn't saved either. I didn't get saved until I was 19 years old, in spite of growing up in a Christian home. Oh, I made a profession, even made a profession at teen camp. Thought I was saved, but I was never converted. There was something I was missing. There was something that was lacking in my life. I see that this young man, just like you here this morning, was at a very critical point in his life. He came face to face with Jesus Christ. He was listening to the very God of creation speak. He was listening to the Savior of the world face to face. What an opportunity! What a privilege! And it was such a critical point in his life. Here he is face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. But why did he not get saved? But let me say to you, young person, it's always a critical time in anybody's life when they come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, you come face to face with the Lord every time you hear this book preached. Every time you sit through a service like this, every time you attend church on Sunday, you come face to face with Jesus Christ. And it's a critical time in your life. What opportunity. And if that's true, then why is it that there are some who are still not saved? Could it be that you are lacking the very same thing that this young man lacked in his life? Jesus said, "One thing thou lackest." We're going to talk about that, what it really was, and why this young man did not get saved. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. But I want you to, listen, don't tune me out, okay? Don't tune me out. It's time for preaching. Oh, my mind's going to go somewhere else. And I don't want to be interested. Don't do that, because this is a critical time in your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you take your word now and through your Spirit, Father, apply it in the heart. Lord, I can't see into the hearts of these young people, and I don't pretend to. But Lord, we know that you do, that no thought is hidden from you. And Father, you know exactly what each young person is thinking right at this very moment. You know what their heart attitude is. Father, I pray that there would be a softness and a tenderness to the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, that your will is accomplished. And Father, if there are some this morning who are not saved, that they'd realize the critical state that they are in today. And Father, not be like this young man who went away sorrowful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go back to our text there. I lost my place, but I'm going to find it again. And I want you to see some things. The first thing that I want you to see is I want you to see the love of Jesus toward this young man. The Bible says here in verse 20, "And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these things have I observed from my youth." So here he listens to Jesus, and Jesus says, "You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't kill. You know the Ten Commandments. Do all these things." And he said, "Lord, I've done all of those things since I was young." But then Jesus says in verse 21, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest." Jesus loved this young man. He looked at him, and he could see right through the real issues of this young man's heart. And the Bible says that Jesus beheld him. Now, this wasn't just a gazing on him like I would look at this young lady here. I see her. It wasn't like that. Jesus looked at him with much deeper thought, and there was a calm, pitiful considering of this young man's situation, and it caused Jesus to love him and have compassion on him to enough to be able to tell him what the real issue of his heart was. Jesus wasn't going to sugarcoat it, and he wasn't going to lie to him. He was going to get right through all of that stuff and get right to the heart of the issue. And I tell you this morning, that's exactly what the Spirit of God wants to do with you. He loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. And he's going to get right to the heart of the matter so that you can see yourself as you really are and accept the fact that Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you. Jesus had divine compassion on this young man's soul, looking at his heart. But what was it that Jesus beheld? What was it that he saw in this young man? Well, verse 17 shows us one thing, first of all. He saw that this young man was earnest. Verse 17, look at it. He said, verse 17 says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running." You see the earnestness in this young man here? He knew that he had a need, and he saw Jesus, and he goes running to Jesus. He had to get to him. He was earnest about it. There was no lack of recognition in his heart. He knew that he needed to be saved. He even sought after it diligently, and so he ran to Jesus. I wonder if this young man at some point in his life prior to this had thought about being saved. And he maybe tried to get saved, but he couldn't. And he's like, what in the world is my problem? Why can't I get saved? Oh, there's Jesus. I'm going to run to him. And I'm going to ask him, what do I need to do? I can't get this thing figured out. I wonder how like him maybe some of you are this morning. Maybe you know there's a need in your soul. You've grown up with the truth. You've heard the preaching. Maybe at times you've prayed a prayer even. And something still isn't right. And maybe you're even saying, why can't I get saved? I've tried this, but something is not there. And you're uncertain and you're waffling back and forth all the time. Can't get the issue settled. Maybe even on a regular basis, you would be one. In an invitation to raise your hand, say, pray for me. I need to be saved. Are you following me here? I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what's in your soul. But God does. Maybe you're in earnest about this issue and yet still not saved. Why? Jesus saw that this man was earnest, but secondly, Jesus saw that there was some humility. Look at verse 17 again. There came one running and kneeled to him. You see the humility here? He knew that Jesus was the source of salvation or had the answer, and he earnestly runs up to him and he kneels in front of him with respect and humility. He obviously knew to go to the right source for salvation. And yet, he still was not saved. How like him maybe some of you are. You know that salvation's not found in works. You know that salvation's not found in religion or some other, quote, God. You know that salvation is only in Jesus Christ. You know all of that. And yet, some of you still are not saved. So many times, this is the case with young people who grow up in Christian homes. They know to go to the right source for salvation. They're not seeking salvation through anything else. They're not trying to be baptized or be a good person because they know that the Bible says that's not how you get saved. Many would even kneel in prayer, even to God regularly, and say, God, if I'm not saved, would you just save me now? Maybe at nighttime on your bed, you're thinking about these issues and the Spirit of God begins to prick your heart and you know there's something that's not there, and so you pray, Lord, I don't know, if I'm not saved, just save me now. And you go on with life and nothing changes. Still not sure. Lacking something. Still lacking something. What else did he see? Not only was he earnest, not only was there humility, but he asked the right question. Thirdly, he asked the right question. Verse 17 says, after he kneeled before Jesus, he asked him and said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He even asked the right question. These are the things that Jesus is beholding in this young man. What shall I do? He was seeking the answer for his problem even. This is like a young person praying and saying to the Lord, Lord, show me what my problem is. I can't figure this out. Show me, God, why I can't get saved. Maybe there are some here who've prayed that very same thing many times over. Maybe you're wondering why the Lord is just not giving you the answer. Are you here? Hey, you here? Pay attention. very likely, young person, that the Lord has already given you the answer. But it's also very likely that you're not wanting to hear the answer. Just like Jesus gave this young man the answer to his question, what did he say? Here he comes and kneels before Jesus. He asks the right question. What am I going to do? How do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says to him, here's what you need to do. You need to go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. You're going to have treasure in heaven. Was Jesus telling him that the way to be saved is to go and sell all that you have? Oh, no, no. Jesus was getting to a different issue altogether. But he was using terms that this young man could understand. Jesus gave him the answer, and he still went away sorrowful. I wonder if there are some here this morning, maybe you've prayed that prayer. Maybe you asked God, show me what my problem is. Why can't I get saved? Maybe the Spirit of God has already shown you what the answer is, but you're not wanting to hear it. You're not wanting to admit it. We'll get to that in just a minute. But the truth is that so many just refuse to acknowledge what the answer is, just like this young man did. Look at verse 20. Here you get another thing that Jesus sees in this young man. He sees that he's earnest. He sees that he's respectful and humble. He asks the right question. But then he sees something else in this young man. Verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. What's he talking about? Somebody tell me. What's he talking about? Talking about the Ten Commandments. But what about them? Doing what? Yes. He's saying that he has kept all of the commandments from his youth. This gives you a little bit of insight into how this guy thought about himself. Yep. Doesn't it? Because the truth of the matter is, no one can keep the laws of God. No one can keep the Ten Commandments. And here he's saying, I've done that from my youth. It shows you a little insight into how he viewed himself. He didn't think that he was that bad of a person, did he? I'm a pretty good person. I've kept all these things, Lord. That is often the case with young people that grow up in Christian homes. Oh yeah, the Bible says we're all sinners, and we know that. But here's what happens sometimes. You grow up in a Christian home, you got good families, you got good parents, you're in a good church, even you know the truth of God and so on. You know all of this stuff. But what happens is you've been restrained and you've been sheltered from the world that's out there, and you haven't lived a life full of sin and experienced all the consequences that come with it. And sometimes it's very hard for young people in this situation to actually see themselves as guilty and vile and wretched in the eyes of God. I'm not that bad of a person. I'm not like so-and-so. Oh man, I know those worldly people out there. This guy thought he was pretty good. He thought he was doing a good job. But the truth was he wasn't. All of this is what Jesus saw in this young man. He saw some earnestness. He saw some humility. He saw some moral goodness, when the truth is there isn't any in us. But this is what Jesus saw, and this is what caused him to have compassion on this young man, because he could see through all of that, and he knew what the issue of this young man's soul was, and he loved him and wanted him to see so that he could truly be saved. This is exactly what the Spirit of God wants to do in those of you who are not saved. He wants you to see what you really are so that you can get the answer to the question, why am I not saved? Maybe this is what Jesus sees in you this morning. Maybe he sees someone that he loves and wants to save. But there are some who think, well, I just can't get saved. I've tried this over and over and I can't get saved. That is not true. You may have tried over and over, but it's not true that you can't get saved. Jesus Christ loves you enough to give His life for you. Secondly, number two, I want you to see this startling statement that Jesus makes. We see the love of Jesus here, but I want you to see the startling statement that Jesus makes in verse 21. Note what Jesus says to him. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." Why is that a startling statement to this young man? Why did Jesus pinpoint this? Why did he say it that way? Why didn't he say to this, "Well, you got to repent of your sin and you got to trust in Jesus Christ. You got to trust in me." Why didn't he say that? Well, he did say that. But he said it in a different way so that this young man could understand. Jesus said to this guy, "You know what? You got a lot of things going for you there, buddy. But one thing you're lacking." You notice that where he said that? Look at verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest." Okay, you got a lot of things going for you. You think you've kept the commandments, you're earnest, you're all of these things, but you're lacking one thing. And this is what's keeping you from getting saved. He didn't lack a desire for salvation. He didn't lack wisdom to go to the right source for salvation. This guy was probably well educated. He was probably well taught, more than likely, because he was rich. But Jesus saw one flaw. One fly that spoiled the ointment of his life. One thing that kept him from getting saved. Jesus Christ, the God of creation, the Savior of this world, put his finger right on that one issue. What did he do? He exposed and pointed out the one thing that was holding this young man back. This young man's problem was, number one, that he was not willing to see himself as a wicked, vile sinner. But then, number two, he was not willing to surrender and yield to the Lord. This guy wanted control of his own life. And I'll point that out to you in just a minute here. He wouldn't see himself as a wicked sinner. No, because he said, "I've kept all these things from my youth." But then number two, he would not surrender control to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus told him what he should do, and he didn't want to do it. This young man's problem was that he wanted control of his life. It wasn't really money that was the problem. Now, Jesus says, "Go and sell all that you have." We know that he's the rich young ruler. We know that he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. But that wasn't really the issue. Jesus was using it to show him what the real issue was. It's that he didn't want to yield control of his life to Jesus Christ. And that's probably true of some of you here this morning. You've got knowledge of salvation. Maybe you even have some desire to be saved. Maybe you're wondering why you can't get saved. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God is putting His finger on an issue right now and showing you what the problem is, but you're not wanting to hear it. This young man was not willing to surrender his life and give up control of his life to Jesus Christ so that he could be saved. He went away sorrowful because he didn't want to do what Jesus said to do. He wanted to control his own life. How do we know that? Well, because Jesus put him to the test. This is the third point. Here's Jesus' test. What do we know about this test? Verse 21 says, "One thing thou lackest, Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." Oh, Jesus put him to the test, a severe test, first of all. Number one, it was a severe test. I want you to put yourself in his place for just a minute and see how you would stand this test. All right? So remember, this guy had a lot of money. He had a lot of possessions. There was something that he held very dear to him in his life. It was his money. It was his possessions. He held it very dear and very close. Imagine yourself in his situation. Here, this man who wants to be saved, but he's got a surrender problem, and Jesus knows it. And so Jesus points out what that problem is. He goes right to the heart of the issue. He cuts right through all of the externals and right through all of the fluff, and he gets right down to the problem. And Jesus takes the one thing that he holds most dear in his life, which was his money, and he tests him to see if he's willing to forsake it and give it all to Jesus Christ. This is exactly what you and I need, young people. Exactly what the Spirit of God wants to do in your heart. And God takes the Word of God, which is quick and powerful, and it cuts right through all of the externals and all of the walls and all of the excuses and all of the fluff, and he gets right to the heart of the issue. And he wants to see if we are willing to forsake all for Jesus Christ. What is that? Being willing to forsake it all and give it to Jesus Christ? What is that? Somebody tell me. Surrender? Okay. But there's two things that the Word of God teaches us are required for salvation. What are they? It's faith and repentance. This right here, Jesus tests him to see if he's willing to surrender it. This would be a sign of real repentance in his heart if he was willing to say, "Okay, Lord, I don't want it anymore. I don't want any of this. I don't need any of my riches. I'll do whatever you say." That is a repentant heart. It may not be money that you have, but it might be something else in your life that you want to hold on to, that's dear to you, that God says, "Are you willing to give it up for me? I want to control my own life. I mean, I've got plans for school, and I've got plans for this, and I got this plan and that plan. I got these things going on in my life, and if I get saved, then I'm going to have to give that up, and I'm going to have to give that up, and oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't want to do that." Are you with me? I was there once. Let me tell you a story about me. Grew up in a Christian home from my youth. Didn't know anything different. Part of a good, good Baptist church. Part of a teen group just like this growing up through the years. In fact, I even made a profession, 14 years old, at teen camp once. I was 14. There were some guys in the teen group who were older than me, looked up to those guys, respected them. They were 17, 18 years old. I felt pretty privileged because they accepted me as one of them. I was only 14. They're the old guys. Man, they liked me. They brought me in. But other of the guys, they didn't like them. Oh, but they liked me. I was pretty cool. Went to teen camp. There was good preaching on salvation. It was hard, it was hot, it was convicting. And one night, I saw one of my friends who was one of the older guys, I saw him get up in an invitation and go forward when the preacher said, "You need to be saved, you need to come right now." I watched him, saw him get up and go to the front and God working his heart, and I thought to myself, "Oh, well, if he's not saved, then maybe I'm not saved. And you know what, if he's going forward, then I'm going to go forward too." I went forward and made a profession. But I didn't get saved. Because there was no real repentance that came out of this person here. I did it because my friend did it. I did it because, oh, well, that's what you're supposed to do. I wanted to look the part. I wanted to tell everybody, oh, I'm saved. So guess what I did? After that, I had to act like a saved person. And I even thought I was for a little while there. And you know what we did? My youth director, Brother Scott Kuzel, I don't know if any of you know him, he's a missionary in South Africa. One day, he came to the teen group and he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get rid of all the rotten junk that's in our life. And we're going to start with music. What we're going to do is we're going to round up all the CDs, all the tapes, whatever it is that you have. If you're saved and you love the Lord and we're going to follow Christ, we're going to round all that up. We're going to get it together. We're going to put it in a pile and we're going to burn it. We're going to get rid of that junk. So I went and got my secret stash of CDs, of rock music that I liked, that I held on to, that no one knew about because I was a good saved person, right? We got all of that. Went out in front of the teen group and I said, here you go. We're going to burn it. I'm saved. Had a big bonfire. Burned it all. Wow, what a good Christian. But guess what? Because there was no real repentance, nothing really changed. Now it was just keeping it more of a secret. My heart didn't change. The desires I had for the world and for the music and for all the things out there that looked so appealing and so appetizing. Man, I wanted to be like those people out there, but I'm living a restricted life in a Christian home. We got all these standards and I have to wear the certain clothes and I look weird and I don't like it. But I got to do it to keep up the appearance. Being saved. I did it for a while. But because my heart wasn't changed, nothing else about me changed. And it wasn't long, and I couldn't keep up the show anymore. I couldn't keep up the appearance anymore because my heart wasn't changed. And the real me, the real person, started to come back out. And all of a sudden, the draw of the world was more important to me than keeping up a show. The older I got, the more independent I got, the more confident I got, and I started to not care. And I'm going to live the way that I want to live and do what I want to do. Well, that doesn't go so well when you're in a teen group full of Christians in a good church. There's a big difference in the way somebody who's truly saved lives and their heart issues versus somebody who's not, who's trying to keep up a show. Pretty soon, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I don't even care anymore. I want to live the way that I want to live. I started to get rebellious, and the older I got, the more rebellious I got. Until it came to a point where this isn't going to fly anymore. You know what happened? I got kicked out of church. The pastor came to me and he said, look, Jason, you say that you're saved. You shape up or you get out because this isn't going to fly anymore. You know what I said? I'm getting out. All of a sudden, I walked away from all of that, and I just felt free. Now I can do whatever I want to do. I can live however I want to live. I can wear what I want to wear. I can listen to what I want to listen to. I don't have to be restrained by those standards and all of those things anymore. I can do whatever I want, and so that's exactly what I did. I went out into the world, all the things that I thought were so appealing and so fun, I went out and started to do them. I lived that way for 4 years, doing whatever I wanted to do, living how I wanted to live. I went and got a girlfriend, went and tried all that the world had to offer, except for drugs, never did those. Because I was an athlete, played sports all my life, was in the public school playing sport. Any drugs were bad. I didn't do that. Anything else, though? Tried it. Did it. Because I thought it was fun. But you know what I started to realize? After trying and experiencing all those things, that it was all empty. And it wasn't fulfilling and joyful. It wasn't fulfilling me like I thought it would. I found no peace in my soul. I started to go back to church every now and then just to make my mom happy. She always prayed for me. And every now and then I'd sneak back into church and I'd sit up in the balcony in the way, way, way back of the church. By this time I'm probably 18 years old. Maybe 19. And the Spirit of God began to prick my heart. The Spirit of God began to show me how wicked and lost and vile and wretched I really was. That if I died in the moment, I'd go right to the flames of hell. And I knew it because I'd been taught that and grew up that with that. I knew what the truth was. And I was afraid. I was afraid that I'd messed it up forever. I was afraid that I was going to spend eternity in hell because the grace and mercy of God kept drawing and kept pulling. And I didn't want to do all of that stuff anymore. I couldn't care less about it anymore. And one Sunday, after the pastor got done preaching, I had a routine. What I would do, as soon as he would say amen and he was going to pray, every head was bowed, boom, I'd get up, I'd walk down the steps out of that balcony, I'd sneak out the back, and gone. I didn't want to be around for that invitation. That was my pattern. But not this Sunday. I went through the motion, I got up when he said amen, I walked down the steps, and then I walked over, and instead of turning right to go out the doors, all of a sudden I find myself walking up the aisle. Because something needed to change. And Brother Scott Kuzel, he took me aside into the counseling room and I said, I need to be saved. And he said this to me. He said, are you willing to give it all up for the Lord? Are you willing to forsake all to follow Christ? I said, yeah. I don't care about the alcohol. I don't care about any of the other stuff. I don't care about the music. I don't care any about. I need Jesus in my life. And then he said this to me. He said, what about your girlfriend? Are you willing to give her up too? What? Wait a second. I have to give up my girlfriend to get saved? And he said, I said to him, no, I'm not willing to give her up. And he said, then you can't be saved. Whoa. That hit me hard. Because here's the thing. I loved this girl as much as I could fleshly, humanly love her. We had plans. We were going to do this and we were going to do that. We were going to get married. You know, we had all of these things laid out in front of us that we were going to do. And she was dear to me as much as she possibly could. And he said, are you willing to give her up for the Lord? I said, no way. Then you can't be saved. Just like Jesus said to this guy right here. Are you willing to give up all of your money, the thing that you hold the most dear? And follow Christ. The Bible says that he went away sorrowful because he had much possession. He wasn't willing to give control to Jesus Christ. And I was in the same boat. I went away sorrowful. Just like this young man. Not saved. because I wasn't willing to give her up. But because of the goodness and the grace of God in my own life, God didn't let me go. He got right to the heart of the issue. Showed it for what it was. So there was no excuse. So I couldn't come back and say, well, I didn't know God. He laid it bare and showed me for what it was. Now I have no excuse. The question was I going to obey and yield to the Lord, or was I going to reject that and do what I wanted to do still? God kept working on my heart. And man, it was awful because I let everything else go except for this one thing. I was still holding on to one thing that was still dear to me. Nothing else I cared about, and the Spirit of God kept hammering and hammering and hammering and said, you got to make a choice. It's me or nothing. A couple weeks went by. I was so empty inside. I had let everything else go, holding on to nothing except for the one. All of those things that were bringing, quote, fulfillment into my life, they were gone. Now I was empty and I was miserable because I knew to be truly repentant, I needed to let it all go. She was not saved. She was of the world. She was the one thing that I was still holding on to for me. And finally, I got to the point where I was so miserable, and I knew I had to make a choice, but I got to the point that I need Jesus Christ in my life more than I need that. And I had to go to her, and I had to tell her, I can't be with you. Because I need to be saved. You know what? She didn't understand that. She couldn't understand it. I crushed her and broke her heart with all of these plans, and she didn't understand why, but I knew. I had to break it off with her. And man, was I miserable. And man, was I lonely. And man, was it awful. Until it was a Wednesday night, March 8th, 1995. I went to church that night. I had let everything go, and I knew I needed Jesus Christ, and it didn't matter. Nothing was going to stand in my way. I don't even know what the preacher preached, but I know this. As soon as he said amen, boom, I was right there. Brother Kuzel took me aside again, and he said, are you willing to give her up? And I said, I already have. I need Christ.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Young person. Best decision I ever made. Repented of my sin. Jesus Christ was my Savior. All of a sudden, my heart was changed. All of a sudden, everything became new. What Jesus says to this young man here, he says, you sell all that you have and you'll have treasure in heaven. He was using terms that this young guy could understand. And he said, you surrender to me and it will all be worth it. There's nothing that you could hold on to that is worth dying and going to hell for. And what you don't understand is if you'll just surrender and yield control of your life, oh, you won't regret it. Amen. Guess what? The Lord changed me that day. I've never been the same since. Everything became new. My whole outlook, my whole thought process, everything, desires of my heart, it was new. I wanted to serve the Lord. I love the Lord. And you know what? The Lord has blessed me over and over and over and over again. That's in this life. I haven't even seen what's to come yet. Treasure in heaven. Why don't you close your eyes, bow your heads. This young man knelt before Jesus Christ. He had such opportunity. Jesus lays it out for him. Here's the real issue, young man. You are not repentant. You are not willing to yield control of your life, to give it all up and follow me. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful. He chose to hang on to control of his own life. He was convicted. Jesus laid it out for him. He saw what the truth was. He was convicted in his heart, but he was never converted. He wasn't far from salvation. He was very close, and yet he chose to step back into his own darkness. How many of you are doing the very same thing? You say you want to be saved. Maybe even go to the right source. Maybe the Spirit of God brings conviction into your life. But the reason why your life hasn't changed, the reason why you waffle back and forth, is because you've never truly repented and just said, here it all is, Lord. I don't want it. I don't want to be me anymore. I want you to tell me what to do. Do you know for sure that you're saved? Before you can ever take up the torch, you need to know Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you died today, where would you go? Honestly, do you really, really know for sure that you're a child of God?